You're listening to the A Minute to Midnight show. My name's Tony. Got a great show lined up today with a guest, Lauren Atkinson. And Lauren brings out a lot of information about mandatory vaccinations, DNA-altering technology and microchipping, and also some rather intrusive executive orders and other things in this show. It's fascinating. You'll learn a lot. We welcome Lauren Atkinson to the Midnight to Midnight show. It's great to be chatting to you today, Lauren.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And it's always good to have new guests on that we haven't had before. And having just watched a few of your videos, I reckon it'll be a great show today. So, Lauren, can you please give our listeners a bit of a background into your story? You have a YouTube channel, as I've mentioned, and you regularly put out videos. Can you tell people how this began, and also what your occupation is and what led you to be doing this?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's a great place to start. A lot of people recognize me from my video of the flu shot that went unbelievably viral. But prior to that, for the past 3 years or so, I've had a small ministry. And I really didn't have very many followers. I just kind of ministered and preached and taught the word, more like a watcher, to whoever would listen, to whoever would hear me. And so 2.5, 3 years I've been doing that. And the moment that this kind of all happened for me, I put it on my YouTube channel just pretty much for the followers that I had, because I wanted to let them know what was going on. I wanted them to be informed. And this just blew up. So not a lot of people knew that. A lot of people just thought that this was just a video that went viral and all of a sudden I have a YouTube. No, I've been doing this for a while, and God really used my situation and just kind of took it national.
So can you
– very, very incredible.
Yeah. Can you actually give the listeners some information about that whole flu shot and vaccination situation and your employment and everything, just for those that don't know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So basically, I'm a respiratory therapist, and I've been employed doing this for about 5 years. And I've never really had a problem with the situation that I went through until this year. And up until this point, you know, my whole existence on YouTube and my Facebook has always just been to preach the Word of God. I've been studying the prophetic for 2 to 3 years. I mean, this is all that I do. And so when this happened to me at my job, so many red flags went up. And basically, short story, what happened is I was confronted by my employer, all of the hospital employees were, letting us know that this year, 2016, every hospital employee had to be vaccinated with the flu vaccine. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. There was no declining it. Either you took it or you had to resign from your job. Now, at that point, there was like a little buzzing going around the hospital that they had these, like an email was sent out and you could send in like an exemption or something, like in a religious exemption, and they would look at it, they would study it, and they would decide if they wanted to approve it. I did all that. I sent it in. They denied me. It got kicked up past my director to like these board people of the hospital. And I sat down with them. Everybody was really nice. We were all nice. And they basically just said, and these are the words, there was no magic word that anybody could say that would keep them from taking the flu shot. It was mandatory that if I couldn't prove that I was hurt previously, if I had an immune deficiency, then there was no reason they thought that I couldn't take it. And, well, here were my options. Either you resign or you are forcibly terminated. And those are my options. And that's what led up to the video in the car. And then everything after that just kind of fell in line.
So where are you with that employment situation today?
Well, after the video, so I sent in my resignation. I meant no. I said no. I told those people things, but no thanks. But this is not comfortable for me. I've never taken a flu shot in my life. I don't feel like that this is something that is detrimental. There's no epidemic. There's no proof that a flu shot actually works. Why the flu? I'm around so many different things on a daily basis. The flu is really insignificant. Here's my answer. Here's my reason why. I'm done. I sent my resignation to the hospital And 3 days later, Tony, they called me back and offered me my job back. An absolute miracle. I was floored. I'd already made peace with the fact that I had lost my job. I was standing up and I wasn't going to do it. So I still work for them today. And I did not take the flu shot. So that's the miracle to that story. But because of all of this, God has taken me down a massive rabbit hole to show where this is going, because it doesn't just stop with the flu shot. And that was another reason why I did not want to take this. I knew it. I knew that it was bigger than the flu shot. As filthy as the flu shot is, with all the ingredients and everything that's on the market after looking at it and knowing that it's just filthy, it's bigger than that. It's biblical. God made me see that this is a biblical situation, and it goes way further than just an injection.
So were there any stipulations when they rehired you around the flu shot?
The only stipulation they asked me to do was just wear a mask within 6 feet of a patient, and that I can do. Up until the mandatory flu vaccination with the hospital, that's what we did prior. That's what I did prior. I've never taken it. I've always refused to take it at the hospital, and I would just wear a mask. They just gave me that same option this time around.
And has it affected the other employees, you know, your decision? You know, have all of them agreed to take the flu shots, or have you had backlash from people?
That's the saddest part of the story, I think. You know, it was really a bad situation because every single person, there was a lot of people who didn't want to take it. And there was a lot of people that were in, you know, had my same mind frame. But out of fear and out of the fact that these people just kind of pushed them into a corner, them being the only breadwinners, you know, them having a spouse that stayed home with the kids and, you know, they were the only person bringing in an income, the fear was there. And they were able to line these employees up out of fear to take this flu shot. And the reason why it was mandated is because it came down from our federal government here in the United States with Obamacare. 90% of the employees per Obamacare for 2016 has to be vaccinated or they do not get, the hospital does not get their Medicaid and Medicare funds. So this came way above the hospital. It came from our government.
That's interesting.
Due to legislation. Yeah. It is, isn't it? It's scary. It's very embracive. It's horrible. It's a horrible decision for anybody to have to make. And that kind of catapults us into, all right, well then what's really going on? It doesn't just stop with what's really the agenda? Where is this really going? And so...
So with the actual flu shot, let's face it, how many people that have had the flu shots still get the flu, you know? They can say, oh, yeah, it's a different strain of the flu or whatever. But, I mean, I've heard of people getting the flu shots and still getting the flu.
Well, that's because there is no way to create a vaccine for the flu. I mean, it's impossible. I don't care what the CDC says. I don't care what the government says. The flu is an RNA replicating virus, and any virus that replicates RNA versus DNA, it doesn't replicate itself the same way. It's a very sloppy replicated virus. Anything that replicates RNA is sloppy with it, and it never, ever is the same every time it makes a new one of itself. And so the CDC can't track this virus down. That's why it's always different. You got the swine flu, the bird flu, H1N1, H1N1AB. It's always different. So every single time someone gets the flu, 90% chance it's a different flu than what you got the previous year or who got it the last year. It's just different. It's never going to be the same. So then pushing a vaccine like this that they can't track down is a massive red flag. It doesn't work. It's incredibly inactive, and it's making people sick.
So have you actually spoken to any doctors or anybody like that would, you know, sort of say, hang on a second, we don't agree that the flu shot is actually doing anything, that it isn't actually working?
My opinion is I work with some really great doctors, really great surgeons. My hospital here in the state that I personally work for is just a really amazing, it is a really great rated hospital, great doctors. The problem is that doctors are so overworked that they even had to take the flu shot, by the way. They weren't exempted from this. But for them to sit around and debate this and debate that, they're so overworked, they don't have time for it. And I was kind of getting the opinion from some of the doctors that I work with, well, you know, it's just mandated. Let's go ahead and take it and let's just move on with our lives. You know, there's lots to do. There's lots of workload. You know, this is something we have to do. No, it doesn't work. No, it's a bit communistic. No, we don't like it, but let's just take it. So that's kind of the mentality of the doctors. They're on board and they know that there's really no way of tracking down the flu virus, but for the sake of convenience, they end up doing it.
So have you done any research then what's actually in the vaccinations?
Right. So, for example, the 2015-2016 flu ad, this is the vaccine that the CDC is pushing nationwide, global-wide actually, has about 14 different foreign bodies in it. It's a filthy, filthy vaccine. And I got this straight off the FDA insert for this vaccine. I mean, they tell you everything that's in these things. You just have to go find it. So upon reading this, you've got 14 different foreign bodies. You've got, and that's including your three live viruses. So just to start naming a few with the generalized flu ad that they're pushing, we have MF59C, which I'll get to in a second. That's a pretty nasty neurotoxin. Then we have polysorbate 80, sorbitine torlate, sodium citrate dehydrate, citric acid monohydrate. Then we've got some antibiotics. We've got neomycin, kinomycin, barium, formaldehyde, which we embalm people with. It's disgusting. And then we have hexadiacetyl trimethyl ammonium bromide. And then you've got your three flu viruses or whatever they choose to put in the vaccine for that year. It's disgusting. It's filthy. MF59C is a toxic neurotoxin that was discovered back in the 1970s, 1980s that was causing Gulf War syndrome because they were giving it to most of the servicemen here in our military. And it was causing them to have psychological issues later on down the road. Not good.
Okay, so what else? Have you discovered that they use anything like animal DNA or any other such things in these vaccines?
Right. So after I declined this one, I already knew all of this about Fluad. I was offered a supposedly pure option. I told the directors when I was in this board meeting, I said, you know, let me look at it. Let me just look at it and see what we're talking about, see what y'all are talking about. Let me just read what this pure flu block, I'm sorry, that's what it's called, flu block is all about. Well, upon reading this flu block, he gave me the FDA insert. I take it home, I start reading it. In the insert, it says specifically out of word for word, it contains purified HA proteins produced in insect cells that are delivered from moss, caterpillars, and butterflies, specifically the fall army worm. So they are harvesting this virus in the DNA of insect cells, and then they want to put that DNA, insect DNA, into our DNA. And if anybody knows the Bible and scriptures like most Christians should know, you know that that's a big no-no. We've got boundaries. There's no way we are mixing DNAs. Absolutely not.
So
it's just as creepy as the first option.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So we'll get into that in a minute. But just on, like, you know, with vaccinations and different shots, so you aren't against all vaccinations, I take it, like, you know, polio and different other things that have, you know, shots that people have had over the years, they do work, do they?
I mean,
or are they also mucking around with what they put into any other sort of shots?
This is how I see it. Back before, you know, I've got three children, and back before I was a saved Christian, back before I knew any better, I did vaccinate my kids. If I could go back, I would not do it. It has become such a billion-dollar business and a business of complete contamination that, in my opinion, there's not one vaccine out there that's actually pure enough to do its job that it was originally created when we created vaccines to do. I mean, back when vaccines were created, it literally was a weakened virus that was injected into you and your body could defend itself from it. It's not that way anymore. Every single vaccine that's pumped into somebody has a slew of preservatives, random chemicals, either for whatever reason, to antibiotics. It's just, they're scary cocktails that nobody really knows what they're injecting into their children, into themselves. The stance I take today, knowing what I know, no, absolutely not. I just don't see why there's any reason to even go there with the risks associated with these vaccines that we now know of.
That's interesting. So when did it all start going wrong? You know, because obviously in the early days with the chickenpox and the smallpox and all of those things.
We were able to contain.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
And it almost seems like, in my opinion, I mean, here we go with, I hate to say conspiracy theories, but if you really just think about it, it really does make sense. I mean, they're going to load you up with all these foreign bodies in these flu shots. And since there's so much money in keeping us sick, you know, if they found a cure for cancer, well, they're not going to make any money.
Mm.
You know, that pharmaceutical companies go broke if we find cures for things. I mean, there's money in keeping us sick. And what are you going to do with that? I mean, why else are they these chemicals in these vaccines that don't need to be there? Nobody can give an answer. CDC can't give an answer. Government can't give an answer. They won't even answer these questions straight up when asked about it publicly.
That's interesting.
Those are my opinions.
Yeah, that is very interesting because there's always the possibility that they can actually put something else in the vaccine, like another virus, you know, have a vaccine that supposedly controls something, but meanwhile they've put something else in there that does make people sick. And how do you follow that?
How do you control it? Well, like take this flu ad. Vaccine. We'll go back to that real quick. You know, the studies that were done on this, it's in the FDA report. People were having reactions. It wasn't keeping them from the flu, but yet it was causing them to have other lifelong problems, heart defects, neurological disorders, Guillain-Barré, which is a neurological disorder that destroys the nervous system. You got to be put on a ventilator. Sometimes we can cure it, but most of the times when someone gets that, they're damaged for life. I mean, cardiac problems, all kinds of random problems. And guess what? That means more trips to the doctor, more trips to the hospital, more insurance claims. It's when you start putting the pieces together, you start thinking, I don't think that these vaccines are up to any good.
So have you had any backlash, you know, on your stance? Have you had people come out speaking against you? Because obviously, like you say, there's big money in the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry. And if you start pushing these type of views, they aren't going to be popular with some people.
Oh, they're not. They're really not. You know, you've got a slew of people that really are supportive, but at the same time, you have a lot of people that want to just break you down and make you feel guilty. You know, I think any parent can understand when you go to the pediatrician's office, for example, and you're the kind of parent that says, you know what, I'm not really wanting to do that vaccine, or maybe you're more conservative with vaccines than other parents. The physician literally makes you feel horrible. They make you feel like you're a bad parent. They make you feel like you're doing something wrong. I know in the board meeting that I had, even though we were all cordial and nice to each other, they make you feel like a criminal. They make you feel like, well, why don't you want to take it? What's wrong? We're just trying to protect the patients. There's nothing bad in these. Why do you think there's something bad in these? What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. My answer is no, respect that. And they do. So the backlash is definitely does make you feel inferior, insecure, almost so guilty to the point where you do take it or you do let them inject your kid. It's terrible.
That's really interesting because it doesn't only just go to that. You find that happening in so many areas where you're being made to feel like you're a criminal. Like they're doing that with cash, you know. Use cash, you're a criminal. You must be a criminal. You must be a tax evader or whatever. Cash is bad. So you look sideways at, and that's just one more thing. That whole control is being foisted on people and you're made to feel guilty, or even the alternative media, you know, what's going on now, demonizing the alternative media. It's like if you don't toe the official line, you must be some sort of subversive or whatever.
And Tony, it's total programming at its finest because you break someone down long enough, they're going to get you to do what you don't want to do.
Yeah, that seems to be becoming more and more what they're doing. You just see it in so many areas.
I also want to, you know, give one other thing about that, if you don't mind, about the vaccinations. You know, when parents typically, do you have any children, Tony? Sorry to get so personal.
They're all grown up, actually.
They're all grown. Yeah. Well, as a young, as a parent with young kids, I'm sure the other parents will find they've been to the doctor's office to get said vaccine. And, you know, doctor comes in with not just one vaccine, but they come in now with four. Oh, they're behind. And so we need to take, you know, four or five vaccines at one time. And you're thinking, wait a second, that doesn't sound, your gut's telling you, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound good or healthy. But they push it because know this, doctors will not get paid if you come back and get that vaccine. They have to pop you all at one time to get paid from the Medicare, Medicaid, or your insurance company for all of those vaccines. That's why they push so many at once. It has to be under one bill, one invoice.
That's interesting. So they're basically pumping you a bunch of different diseases and things all at once, your body's supposed to cope with it. Especially a little kid, especially if it's a little kid's one.
Yeah. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah. So yes, now you mentioned about it leads you into looking at things from a biblical perspective. So where is that taking you down the rabbit trail?
Oh my gosh, it has taken me so well. After this video just went viral and it exploded, my time with the Father has really, it has taken this now from just, I think this is biblical, to I know that it is, because it's bigger than that. Because if they can get people to line up to take things that they don't want to take out of fear, hold their jobs over their head with just an insignificant vaccine that has no proven efficiency at all on anybody, then they're going to get people to start taking more abrasive things like medical healthcare chips. And the only reason why I go from the flu shot all the way to an abrasive medical healthcare chip is because it's already, Tony, showing up in our medical charting. Already. It's there, ready to be used when people start walking in with it.
That's really interesting where they can take
it's
that.
Scary.
It's pretty scary, all right, because that can be used, the potential to actually alter someone's DNA through things that they put in your body.
It really is. And, you know, we all know what the word says about that. And through further detail, if you don't mind, I can go into a little bit more. Through this whole experience, I've had some people send me some things that have sparked my interest and kind of sparked me on this path of, all right, well, let me see if I can connect all these dots. You know, it's a little bizarre that all of a sudden the government wants to go ahead and start mandating vaccinations. It's completely against any kind of ethical, you know, civil rights that a person has. You know, not only do they want to move in on everything that we own, we buy, you know, everything that we do, they want to move in and press in on our kids. Now they want actual control over our flesh. You know, my body and your body is the only thing that we have left that belongs to us, and they want control of that too. It is incredibly biblical. And the further down the rabbit hole I've gotten, I've discovered we've got some things going on and brewing that nobody knows about here in the U.S. And it's going to start going global. If you don't mind, we can get into those.
Yes, go for it. And tell us what you're talking about there. Yep.
So we have a bill that's just been passed here. And I'm going to kind of take it back a few days before it was passed. And it's going to blow everybody's mind. This is what they're doing. This is how insane our government has gotten. And this is where it's going biblical. Bill H.R. 4919, introduced December the 6th, 2016, by Republican Chris Smith. It will allow Attorney General to authorize and to determine which kind of tracking devices can be used in humans under a $2 million grant for federal employee executors, you know, like your FBI, your police stations, things like that. The language in this bill implies that the Attorney General has the authority to voluntarily or involuntarily, as she sees necessary, or he, to implant tracking devices, and they're putting it under this umbrella for Alzheimer's and autistic kids, like people who want to roam around, who they see unfit, who they see that is a harm to you or to themselves. This bill introduces the ability to chip people via the authority of the Attorney General. Creepy, creepy bill.
So it's not even a voluntary chip. It's something that they can mandate that somebody has to be chipped.
Right. So as December the 6th, when this was introduced, that's the language of this bill. All right, people were having a problem with the language of this bill, rightfully so, because it's extremely creepy. So December the 7th, changes were made to Bill H.R. 4919, and some of the language was changed concerning the Attorney General's role in administering human tracking devices, with the words like non-invasive and non-permanent types of devices instead of, you know, implanting devices, instead of, you know, abrasive devices. It's still creepy. No matter how much language they change, it's still unbelievably unconstitutional, unethical. And here we go again with them wanting to control literally the only thing left we have that's free, which is our flesh.
And I guess the first next thing after the autistic kids, et cetera, and Alzheimer's patients is they could go for prisoners and criminals. They'd say, well, you're in jail. We need to keep track of you, so we will therefore chip you.
Right. Or anybody. I mean, anybody, how do they have the authority to dictate who they see as a threat and not a threat? I mean, they could, with the power that's given in this bill to the Attorney General, she still has the power to dictate who she sees fit to chip or to implant or to track. It's incredibly creepy.
Yeah, so in other words, they could decide that they, you know, they start off with the criminals, the known convicted criminals. Then they could move into the, hang on, this person, we have a suspicion, and therefore, you know, you're not towing the government's line or whatever, so we will chip you to monitor you, or chip or put a bracelet on or whatever it is that's a tracking device. And so exactly. That's how they get it in there, one step at a time. They don't suddenly come out and say, we're going to microchip the whole entire population all in one go. Now, they have to do things in incremental stages.
This is how they start creeping. See, they start creeping in mandatory vaccines. Now they start creeping this stuff into your life. It's like jabbing the knife in slowly so you don't feel it, and then before you know it, you're bleeding to death and you're dying.
Yeah, because with the flu vaccination, it was always, when they first started coming out, flu vaccinations, it was like, oh, people would think, okay, yeah, I might take it because I don't really want to get the flu this year. And so it was a voluntary thing and no one thought much of it. But then they moved that to like where you are now, where they say it's mandatory.
Oh,
but everyone's kind of like the frog in the pot thing, where they've just gradually been introduced, and that's how it all works. They don't do it all in one hit.
And then before you know it, the water's boiling and you're dying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So it continues on from there, Tony. Oh my gosh, we're not finished. So not only, first of all, this bill should have never been introduced. How creepy, how weird. Oh my word, but it has. So it keeps going. So December the 8th, 2016, it passes, Tony. It passes, and now it's headed to the Senate. Mm. So now the Attorney General could possibly have the authority to track people she sees fit with whatever device deemed necessary via insertion for anyone who is a danger to themselves or to others. This is actually getting voted on here in our country.
Yeah, that's pretty creepy.
It's so creepy.
Mm.
All right, and I want to take it further back. So that was a bill that was passed just recently. I want to go back now to November the 4th. November the 4th, 2016. So I'm going to tie all these together. Executive order was passed or was signed by our wonderful Barack Hussein Obama. The executive order reads, advancing the global health security agenda to achieve a world safe and secure form of infectious disease threats. Lots of words. Nobody really knows what it's talking about until you start reading through it. He has given the global health security agenda, just that word global right there, global health security agenda, full power to implement whatever vaccines they see necessary or important to give without consent if they feel as if it's a pandemic. So if they feel like the flu is a pandemic, and we all know it ain't, they can say everybody's going to have to take this, whether you want to or not, period, the end of discussion. Goes even further than that, because then it gets kicked to the CDC. If someone wants to buck, he is given the authority of the CDC, has the right to quarantine and hold anyone without further discussion or research, as they see fit, due to the security of the world, globe, or nation. Individuals, this is the exact word, individuals' consent shall not be considered with the CDC. So now the CDC can come in and go, you know what, I think you are infected. You don't really show any signs, I don't know, but we think that you are. We're going to quarantine you. without your consent, without nothing. We're going to hold you against your will. Then it goes further. He gives the attorney general the authority to oversee via the FBI, linking public health and law enforcement to coordinate with the CDC to help successfully implement their choice to detain you and their choice to forcefully vaccinate you with the, let's just say, flu or whatever they choose. Tony, nobody knows about this. It was passed secretly and quietly.
Yeah. Yes, it's definitely, you know, the implications. You start thinking, well, how they could actually use that. They could create a lab virus and set it out into sectors of the population that maybe kills a few people or whatever, and then they suddenly have to vaccinate everybody because they don't want the entire population getting this supposed disease. And
exactly.
Yeah, and I think they've already trialed certain things like that. And what is even scary too, when you hear people like Bill Gates, you know, coming out and saying about overpopulation and how much the world needs a global government, and these type of people pushing this sort of stuff. It's pretty far reaching where you can see it going.
Oh, no, it is. And this just really kicks back to, it starts off with us then mandating these vaccines for whatever reason it is. And reading through that executive order, you know, my brain automatically went back to what I just read a few days ago about this bill that was passed for the attorney general to have power to implement people. So here we have an attorney general that has the authority to oversee the CDC and the global the global health security agenda's decisions about you. Now we got the attorney general going, okay, well, I now also have the authority, since you're a danger to yourself and to others, I need to track you. So I'm going to put something in you. This is a bill that's about to go get looked at by the Senate. See, all of these dots are connecting. And, you know, while everybody is, you know, wondering, you know, when Trump's getting into office and when Obama's leaving, you know, over here in our nation, he's doing these things. Why would a president be doing these crazy things, Tony, when he's about to leave?
It just
continues to just build.
Yeah, probably because he's not at the top of the pile and he's a puppet doing what he's been told to do by those who are the puppet masters. Okay, I want to just slightly go in a different direction with this into the how a DNA, like, you know, can they use this to actually alter people's DNA?
I believe they can. I absolutely believe that they can, because, you know, once you start putting and implementing tracking devices inside of your body, you really, as a Christian, you know, and if you want to take this biblical, we see in the book of Revelation, once, we don't know what it is, okay? It seems like the microchip is pretty close to what John was talking about in Revelation. I mean, it seems pretty dang close. Not to mention that this microchip, let's say it's implanted into somebody, which I've read in a few articles that it has been already implemented in a few people in Europe. You know, they're opening doors with their hands, they're opening, you know, they're buying things on their phone. Okay, so these chips have a lithium battery. Lithium, if it's leaked into the bloodstream, causes incredible massive sores to happen throughout the body, on your skin, everywhere. Well, that's kind of weird, because the Bible kind of tells us whoever receives the mark breaks out in these sores.
I think, well, what if, and this is just a what if scenario, what if they start off with one of these microchips and some people get microchipped? But it's sort of like a precursor, trial run for the Mark of the Beast. It's not the actual Mark of the Beast, but right. Then they have enough people with this in, and they're all going, oh, well, this hasn't affected me too badly and all right. And then later on, they have a better chip that not only tracks people, but it actually has DNA altering capabilities. And they say, well, actually, if you have this chip, it will not only monitor you medically, but it will actually fix if you have a disease, this will heal you, etc. So you get to the point, you're sort of like a precursor Mark of the Beast, how we've sort of said things are done incrementally. So they're not going to come straight out and say, everyone has to be microchipped with this particular microchip, and some people take it voluntary, and then later on it leads to what is the actual mark of the beast, which is possibly a DNA-altering thing, because you find in Book of Revelation it talks about men seeking death and not being able to find it.
That's right.
Which is that because they have something in, something altering their DNA, regenerating it or whatever?
Right.
So this is obviously still speculation because none of us really knows for sure, but this is where my mind goes with it.
But we can tell where this is headed, and you're exactly right. You know, it's implied in Revelation that, you know, this mark or whatever that we're taking, there's really no explanation. It must do something to our DNA that the Creator gave to us, made for us, because we are connected to Him. And it's like, if you get this mark, you are cut off. You're disconnected. You're disconnected from the Father. Well, what could do that? Nothing more than the changing of your DNA, the changing of you being technically human as you were created to be. The beast has full power over you at that point. There's no other explanation. And I'm with you. I think, you know, these chips or whatever's coming down the pike will have the ability, because it seems like they're already testing it, Tony. I mean, they have a flu block here where they're growing the virus and insect DNA. And they want to put insect DNA into our DNA? Why? To see what it does? To see how we react? You know, all of this is just agenda program. We don't know what they're doing, but it sounds really suspicious. And I think every single one of God's children, or just everybody in general, needs to wake up and realize there's an agenda here and everything's really not okay. I mean, we're getting into some really scary times and we all need to really be on this.
Okay, so yeah, if we look at that going back, say the book of Genesis, and we have the Genesis chapter 6, I think verse 4, where we have the Nephilim on the earth, and then later, which were, I believe, the creation of fallen angels mating with humans. And so humans' DNA was corrupted at that point. And that is why I believe the flood was brought to destroy the population, because it was all corrupted. It wasn't because Noah was sinless, because, you know, we find out later on that he sinned, and so he wasn't sinless before they went on the ark. So it can't have been because he was a sinless person that God saved him and his family. It must have been another reason. And if people and animals' DNA had all been corrupted by the fallen angels, or the watchers, whatever you want to call them, from like the Book of Enoch calls them watchers, then that's a good enough reason why God would have sent the flood. So are we heading for the same sort of thing again? I mean, this whole talk of transhumanism, and are we heading down the same sort of path where they are trying to create super beings or superhuman beings corrupting our gene pool?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail right on the head. This is the same old song and dance, like Solomon said, nothing new under the sun. Lucifer tries this over and over and over again. We see it, like you said, in the Old Testament when Noah, the flood, okay, that's why the earth was flooded. Then we see after the flood, Lucifer tried it again, because you know that David killed five other giants. They were giants. There was five more left after the flood. We saw he did it again. Now here we go, getting closer to the return of Christ, and he's trying it again. They're breaking down our gender. They're breaking down, you know, who we are as humans. They're wanting to implant. Now we're moving into this transhumanism. Let's break down society so that, you know, we can start altering this DNA so we can become like God, so we can move into this realm of spirituality. Well, that's exactly what Satan told Eve at the very beginning of this whole story. If you eat from that tree, you can be like God. You will know right from wrong. It is the same lie played out over and over and over and over again.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you get into the thing, you know, say they can create a human super soldier or whatever that has the sight of an eagle, you know, say, and the hearing of something like a dog or whatever. And so, you know, then they were heading in that direction. And I know that they are experimenting with all this stuff. It's not science fiction. It's actual fact.
Well, and people, No, it is. It's an actual fact. And people will ask me, well, why would they do such a thing? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they don't know the Father. They don't know the love of the Father. They don't know that there's a creator out there that created them just as they are, and that Jesus Christ is Lord. They're looking for to become like God. They want that existence. They don't know the truth. Mm. So they definitely are pushing this through. This is a fact. This is not just sci-fi.
And then they're also confusing genders. That's the whole other thing, you know, with the whole transgender thing, and you can be whatever you want. You know, if you're born a girl or born a boy, you don't have to stay that way. Well, you can choose. That's right. I mean, this is just bizarre.
It's so beyond bizarre. This goes back to the whole DNA manipulation situation. You know, you don't have to be who God created you to be. We can fix that. We can change that. You can be, you know, you can be like God. You know, it just keeps repeating itself over and over and over again. We're just, you know, 2,000 years post-Christ and more sci-fi, and we've got more gadgets, but it's the same thing.
Yes, it is. And it's hard to see where it's going to end, or, you know, trying to track it all. Well, we know what happens in the end, but tracking the different ways it gets to that beast system and what the eventual mark of the beast is, and that we can't say for absolute sure. We can just surmise and look at what's going on now and figure out what's likely to be happening. But we're certainly seeing that move towards transhumanism and transgenderism, and it seems to be becoming more and more prevalent at a very quick rate, and it's scary.
It is. It's really, it is really unsettling. And, you know, especially with them wanting to implant these microchips, it all does seem to kind of fit. It really all kind of seems like, you know, that is exactly where we're headed, what they're doing, and the reason why they're wanting to do it. I mean, you can't have a one world system, a one world government with everybody being their own individual God-loving person. You got to control everything. You got to control the flesh. You got to control their thoughts. You got to control their health. You got to control their money. You got to control what they eat, what they can buy. It's all about this one world agenda. And they are, in my opinion, getting closer and closer now more than ever. And they're doing all this behind closed doors. They're, you know, in our nation, you know, we've got Obama signing executive orders ain't nobody know about. We got bills passing in the House that are creepy, that are wanting to put implants into people, and nobody knows about it. Everyone's still doing what they're doing. You know, Christmas season over here in the U.S., buying gifts, having Christmas. Nobody knows, Tony. It's slowly creeping into our lives, and before you know it, it's here, and then nobody's prepared for it. Everyone's lining up to get it. Everyone's willing to, you know, take a chip or whatever to buy or sell because they're starving, because they were never told. Well, you're being told now.
Yeah, and wake up. Yeah, it's being moved in, like I say, all different directions, because you've got the move towards a cashless society being pushed so that they try and get everyone into an electronic system. You've got the global agenda, Agenda 2030, and the sustainable development, and, you know, we've got to stop this man-made climate change, so we've got to tax every country, and globally everyone signs into it. So it's all moving towards this global thing, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly where all this is going. It's exactly where the flu shots go. I wish and I hope that I've done a really good job, and I'm going to keep on trying to push this, because I want everybody to, like I keep saying, connect all the dots, because they're not just going to come out one day and just say, okay, everybody just here, line up, take this chip, or you can't buy and sell. No, it creeps into our lives to the point where you don't even realize you're about to do these things. And it starts off, you know, like I've said to people in the past, you know, some of my friends, they come up to me, oh, you know, I would never let someone put in something into me that was forced. That's where I draw the line. I would never let someone forcefully inject me with anything. And to that, I said, you know what? Well, you just did. You just lined up. You just was forced to take a vaccine that you didn't want to take. They held your job over your head. And what did you do? You went and you lined up out of fear, and you let them inject you with something that you know nothing about, that you didn't want nothing to do with. They already got you. So if it was that easy with just a ridiculous junky flu shot, What happens when you don't have food? What happens when you don't have water? What happens when they come in and take everything that you've stored and had ready for your family and you can't buy or sell without this whatever? You got to be ready now. You got to pull the Band-Aid off fast now and start saying no to these things so that you are ready.
Absolutely. Okay, we're getting towards the end of our time. One other thing I was thinking, what are your thoughts on demons and what actually a demon is and what is Satan's agenda and, you know, those that he's controlling at this point?
I'm so glad that you're opening up this dialogue. I think it's time for the church to talk about these things. I think now is the time. You know, you start talking about these kind of things and people look like you got, you know, six eyes on your head. We need to talk about these things. You know, they're in Revelation. And my personal opinion through the studies that I've, you know, read and, you know, like I said, I spent 3 years nonstop on this. Since I was awake and baptized, God just hit me over the head with a ton of bricks. And I've been at this all the time. And it seems to be that, in my opinion, that we have two things going on. We have the fallen angels, which we know are eternal beings. So they never die. They're still out. They're still fallen. They're still angels. They're still with Lucifer. But we also have these souls that when Lucifer tried to create this army that we got a little touch on in the Old Testament, and if you read the Book of Enoch, you get more information, that these hybrids, you know, when they die, because Lucifer created this army, well, they've got souls too, but they weren't created by the Father. These were not created by the Creator. These were creations. These are the demons. The souls of these created Nephilim, these hybrids, these giants, those, to me, those are the demons. We still have the angelic beings. We've got the demons. Who knows what Lucifer has created that we cannot see that are in different dimensions? You know, we've got these now more than ever, Tony. I think I've heard some people on your show. We've got more alien encounters, people seeing crazy things in the sky than we ever have before.
Yeah, that's right. And yes, I agree. The Nephilim, when they were killed out in the Great Flood, they their spirits, being neither human nor angel, but half and half, they were left wandering the earth, and that's what demons are. And the same, you know, ones that would have been killed, like probably Goliath and things afterwards. Where does Goliath's spirit go? It can't go to heaven.
Right.
And, it doesn't belong anywhere, so that they roam the earth. And I think that's what the demons are. They're not fallen angels. They're hybrid beings, spirits. And I first heard that from Chuck Misler, actually. It was, like, quite revolutionary when I heard
him.
That. It was like, wow, you know.
It's like once I love Chuck. I'm with you. It is. It was a revolutionary moment. It's like, you know, when the church can, if the church, the leaders and the church people can finally start opening up these dialogues, all of these things start making sense to his children.
Yeah.
And I don't think if we knew the truth, we wouldn't be making these terrible decisions. I mean, we would know, you know, some of the answers to the questions that the lost always like to come and ask us. And we could probably win more people.
Because we know that angels can appear and in a human-type form with solid bodies. We've seen that in Scripture where angels took Lot out of Sodom, you know, and where angels appeared and they have a body, you know, they can actually, because they actually ate. Okay, but a demon doesn't have a body like that, and that's why they're running around looking for things they can possess, because they don't actually have a body. So the demon can possess a biological robot suit, which we might call an alien grey, and operate that like a mechanical, you know, biomechanical machine, or they can enter into a person or an animal or whatever, because they don't have a body, and that's the difference. Lucifer doesn't need to enter into a body because he can appear as whatever, but demons can't do that. And I think people haven't largely got the connection that fallen angels and demons are not the same thing, but Lucifer still, or Satan, controls both. He's the lord of both.
Yes. He's just the copycat of the Creator. All he does is try to create his own whatever he does. But the problem is that the creation cannot create like the Creator. And, you know, we have, if the church knew and the dialogue was opened, And I think now more and more, you know, through your broadcasts and the times that we're coming in and other broadcasts like yours, people are starting to really wake up and realize that it's really more. There's so much that we don't know. You know, God only told us what he wanted us to know. You know, you got the Bible and then you got like books like the Book of Enoch and the Book of Jasher and everything that give us a little bit more of an idea. But there's so much, Tony. There's just so much that could answer a lot of the questions that the lost has, and they probably wouldn't be lost if, you know, some Christians really knew more than just the gospel, because there's more to it. There's more to the story.
Yes. Well, this has been a great discussion. So could you give the listeners where they can find you on the internet, where they can find your YouTube channel and things?
Oh, absolutely. So I have my small ministry that I preach and teach and watch from, my little watchtower. It's Proving Truth on YouTube, just Proving Truth. That's what I call it. And then you can find me on Facebook under the name Lauren Atkinson.
Yep, that's great. So you don't mind people friend requesting you on Facebook or?
No, they certainly can try. Now, I am being censored like crazy. Facebook does not like what I'm doing.
Not surprising.
If you can't friend request me, yeah, I know. If you can't friend request me, that's fine. You can still, so I've heard, still follow me and definitely subscribe to my YouTube, because that's where I put, you know, what they censor on Facebook, they may not censor on YouTube. So I use both of them.
Excellent. Yes. Well, it's a great message you're putting out there. And, you know, we've covered, I think, some pretty interesting stuff. So have you got any final thoughts that you would like to share with people before we sign out?
The only thing I would love to say to everybody listening is don't fear. Stay strong. We're coming into some times that may make you confused, that may make you wonder. You got to know that word. You got to read it. You got to love it. You got to breathe it. When you don't understand it, ask for understanding. If you're frustrated, okay, put the word down and pick it back up. Keep trying. Keep working, because you will get the answers. And don't be deceived.
Wow, that was good. Excellent word. Well, thank you so much for being on the A Minute to Midnight show today, Lauren. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And man, that time went fast.
I know. Thank you for having me. Thank you. So good to meet you.
Yes, and you too. So you have a great day.
All right, take care.
Those of you that listen to the A Minute to Midnight show may not realize that it's not just me that runs A Minute to Midnight. We're a little team. We've got Brooke. She helps with organizing the guests and runs our Facebook group. And Joni Stahl. She does a lot of work behind the scenes, and Matt writes articles, and Chris helps us out with research as well. So we're a pretty tight little team, and I get to do the interviewing, but it's not just me that's, believe me, it's not just me that does the work. And we really appreciate any support you can help us. We have a donation button on our website, and I know it's Christmas and people have money's often tight, but we do appreciate those that are able to continue to help support us with donations. And speaking of the website, we try and put articles on there regularly, new and interesting articles that we write as a team on various subjects. So check out the website regularly and you'll get not only all of our shows posted on there, but great articles as well. And don't forget our Facebook group. If you want to join that, you're welcome. And I write, record, and play all the music that we use in our shows. And you can find my royalty-free production music and also sound effects at rockshoresounds.com. And there's a link to that on the minutetomidnight.com website. And don't forget, we spell midnight, M-I-D-N-I-T-E. And don't forget to like or thumbs up our videos on YouTube, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And that's about it from me for today. Thoroughly enjoyed this show. Hope you enjoyed it as well, and we'll catch you in the next broadcast.